Turn in your Bibles tonight to Psalm 27. Now, on the radio broadcast Friday, I touched on this verse, and when I was putting things together for this evening, I had a completely different idea about what to do, but we're going to go with this because I believe there's something more in here than we had time for in that segment of the broadcast. And I think it's very important for us, considering what we've talked about today. In Sunday school, we were in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, and talked a lot about prayer this morning. Then we talked about knowing God, knowing Jesus, in the sermon this morning, when we saw what happened on the road to Emmaus. And tonight, just still dealing with those spiritual matters of our relationship with the Lord, look in Psalm 27 at verse 8. David said, "When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." Now that's a strange request from the Lord. And that is a strange response from David. And the reason is, when you read through your Bible, you get to John chapter 1 and verse 18, and John tells us, "No man hath seen God at any time." When Moses had an opportunity to see the Lord, and he asked him, he said, "Show me. I want to see you." The Lord said, "You can't see my front part. I'm going to let my back part come in front of you like that and hit him in a cleft of the rock, and then just let him see the back part." 1 John chapter 4, verse 12 says the same thing. No man has seen God at any time. And if that's the case, then why would God say, "Seek ye my face"? And David replied, "My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." That's interesting. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and see what he can show us about that tonight. Father, we're thankful to be here. Lord, I pray that you'll help us. Thank you, Father, for a really wonderful afternoon. Good afternoon of resting and nourishing and reading and praying and an opportunity to get back with our folks tonight. I'm thankful for these that have returned for the preaching of the Word of God. Thankful for the Grissoms, Father. I'm traveling all over the country. I sure pray that you'll give them safety and provision for their journey. Lord, meetings, good meetings. I'm thankful they're up to 80%. I pray that you will continue to show favor. Get them to their field, Father. England was where this great book that we're preaching out of tonight was printed. It's been distributed all over the world. Now they're going back to that area, and it's dark. Such a change. Such a change. Father, it could be easy to be discouraged. So many people have come from other parts of the world to go there now, and only you know, Father, what it is you intend to do with him when he gets there, but I sure pray for him. Give him safety. Give him clear vision on exactly how you'd use him there. Feed them tonight, Father, and I pray for our folks. You'll feed us well. Lord, strengthen my voice and my sinuses so that drainage doesn't become an issue, Father, and weakness in the voice or weakness in the body doesn't become an issue. Father, we're so thankful that you told Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee," and we look to you tonight, Father, for your grace to be sufficient. And I'd pray to be able to say, like Paul, "When I am weak, then I am strong." That's all because of you. Father, glorify your name tonight. Magnify your word. Edify your dear saints. And accomplish in our lives all that you intend to accomplish when you show us what you have for us in this verse of Scripture. For we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, if no man hath seen God at any time, and we're not going to see him until we're there face to face with the Lord, you know, the question comes up then, how are we to seek his face? Why is there a statement here that the Lord said to David, "Seek ye my face"? And when you think about it, we know we're not going to see him face to face, not in this body, not on this side of glory. And people who have charismatic experiences and tell you that they saw Jesus, you know, you just need to be really wary of that. We were talking, where's Benny? Benny, we were talking one time to a fellow. We were at the Dairy Queen over in Sinton, and this guy had gotten saved. We were able to lead him to the Lord, and then they started going to another church. And he said, and when they were there, he said, "Oh man," he said, "I love that church." He said, "What's so great about it?" He said, "My 12-year-old son looked up during the invitation one time, saw Jesus coming down out of the ceiling." Really? Now, I don't know all there is to know about appearances that people have recorded of an angel that may have shown up at a time of need. I've heard many stories. So I'm not here to deny your story, but I doubt very seriously that Jesus was coming down out of the ceiling in that church. There's no need for that. Yeah, I mean, if the preaching was that bad that he had to show up to... No, I'm just kidding. You know, but... But, you know, you and I are not really to look for that. In other words, you and I don't need to leave here tonight and go home and say, "Father, I'm going to go in my prayer closet. I'm not leaving here until you show me your face. I'm not going to eat or drink until you show me your face. You're going to starve to death. We'll have your funeral." Okay, that thing isn't going to happen. No man hath seen God at any time. So how are we, what is this? Well, think about a face. You're looking at my face and I'm looking at yours. My job tonight is a whole lot worse than yours because I've got a whole lot of faces to look at. You only have one. But you know, when you see somebody's face, there's a lot of recognition. You'll see somebody and then somebody may say, I never forget a face. If I ever was able to say that before, I don't know that I can say that now. But the facial characteristics are very specific. From here, I notice that you have a nose. And I notice that you have eyes. And I notice that you have ears. And I notice that you have a mouth. And those are very, very important parts of your face. There's cheeks and hair and other things like that. But that the eyes and the nose and the mouth and the ears are very, very important. We communicate. I speak and your ears listen. You speak. And my ears are supposed to listen. Supposed to. So that's our method of communication. I could shut my eyes and hear your words. And those ears work. The eyes are very interesting. If you've ever noticed and looked into people's eyes and the colors of their eyes and the way their pupils dilate and so forth with certain types of conversations and things, I think... In law enforcement, they even talk about looking at people's eyes to see what those pupils are doing when you're interrogating somebody. The nose, of course, the olfactory sense. I can't eat sugar anymore, hadn't for years. But every once in a while, Ann will get a dessert and she said, "Man, this is so good." And I'll say, "Let me smell it." And I bring it over there and smell it. And I tell you, when you don't eat sugar and so you don't have all that building an appetite in there, it's amazing how good a chocolate dessert can smell. It's very appealing to my olfactory senses, and I don't have a glycemic reaction to it, so it's all real good. The nose is very important in a relationship. Listen, when you're married, your wife will wear a certain perfume, and you can smell that perfume. And it reminds you of that one woman in your life. And it's pleasing to you and pleasing to her and so forth. And so the nose is a very important part of an intimate relationship. The eyes are a very important part of an intimate relationship. When you're communicating with somebody and you're looking at each other eye to eye in a close proximity, that's a wonderful thing. It's a whole lot better than shouting at each other from the other room. "You listening to me?" All those things are very important. So tonight, Let's look at this verse, not from the standpoint that we need to see a vision of the Lord appear so that we'll know He's here, but let's talk about those things that are on the face. When the Lord said, "Seek ye my face," and my heart said unto thee, "Thy face, Lord, will I seek." And the first thing we notice is His eyes. When you read through the Bible, you find a lot of things about the eyes of the Lord. You know, that great book, Song of Solomon, where there's such an intimate relationship between Solomon and his bride, which pictures the relationship between the church and Jesus Christ. She says of Him, "His eyes are the eyes of doves." You know what? You don't know that until you're really close and until you're looking in those eyes. John, when he was up in, had been taken up into heaven, was up, caught up there, and he's hearing this voice. He looks and he sees the Lord and describes what he sees, and he says, "And His eyes were as a flame of fire." That's very important for us because we want to understand something about the eyes of the Lord. We can pass around through Scripture, but if we'll concentrate on this verse, I'll try to quote some Scripture, some we may look at. You know this verse from Proverbs chapter 15, "The eyes of the Lord are where? In every place, beholding the evil and the good." That's very important for us to remember. Because what happens to us in Christianity is this. Everybody in this room at some point in your Christian life was playing the game of Christianity. You put on a face and you put on a demeanor. And you put on a behavior that let everybody else in the room think that you and God were going along just fine. And you weren't. When you quit thinking about other people and what they see in you, and you concern yourself with the face of God, and you concern yourself, more importantly, with those eyes, and you get close to God and seek His face to get a glimpse of what He's seeing, you quit playing that game. Because you're not fooling anybody but yourself. You're not fooling God. Turn over here to Hebrews chapter 4 so you'll understand just what God sees. We know there, those eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good, but let's get a little better look. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 is the verse we want, but let's just pick it up with verse 12 because it's good. "For the word of God is quick," so it's alive, "and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." Right now, sitting here in this room, listening to this preacher and listening to these words being preached, God Almighty is looking through you, and before Him you are naked and opened. And He says, "Unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." That's who you have to do with, is Him. Not me. And not each other. The Lord. He's looking. You see, when people are out here in your life, in your ordinary life, just doing what you do, you respond when people are looking. If you're driving down the road and you're late for a meeting and you've got to make up some time, you'll push that speed limit a little bit. I'm looking over here at Brother Grissom. I don't know if you do or not, but people do. I know somebody real well who does. But I'm going to tell you what happens. As soon as you look up and you see a policeman, you tap that brake, whether you're speeding or not, and bring it down. Why? Because suddenly you are face to face with somebody who can punish you for driving too fast. Employees at work goof off and carry on as long as the boss is away. And he shows up and everybody starts towing the line. They're not better employees. They're not better employees. They're better fakers. They just act like they work hard when he's looking. You can't fool God. Have you ever stood before a judge? Don't raise your hand here. We already do background checks, so we know some things. But I remember one time years ago, we had been out of town. We got back, and my phone, my message machine, nobody has message machines anymore. It's all voicemail. But my message machine was lit up, boy. And I played back message after message from a cousin of mine. Turns out another cousin, who was college age, had been thrown in jail. So I went down to I got the sheriff and went down there and we bailed him out. And there was a court date set up for him. And I told him that I would go with him for his court date. I wish I hadn't. We got in there and Judge Yeager was the judge. He was sitting behind that bench and he called my cousin up there. And I mean, right here, we were standing. And he began to ream that boy out for what he had done and all the things that judge could do to him. He gave him one of those probated sentences. He said, "You mess up any time in the next 4 years, you're mine." And I'm listening to that, and I'm just like shaking in my boots. You know why that is? Because the Bible says, the king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes. See, when you seek the face of the Lord, and you realize that every moment of every day and every moment of every night, what you're doing, what you're thinking, what your motives are before that judge, that'll change your life. That's why he said, "Seek my face." And David said, "My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." Recognizing that he's looking all the time. And knows you. Listen, we can't get, I don't want to dwell on this point too long, but we cannot hear this tonight and walk out of here casually like we weren't instructed by God on what's going on. There is no reason for you to fake your Christianity. Because the judge is looking. And he knows. I have told people before, and it is so true, if your life is a mess and you're pretending that it's not, just come in here with your life a mess. We can do something for you. The preaching of the Word of God can help you. But when you've put up that veneer, nothing's going to get through. And the veneer only says you don't have a real understanding of God. Because you think you're getting away with whatever it is you're doing. And you're not. You're not. The second thing when we think about his face here, he says, "Seek ye my face. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." You see his mouth. You see his mouth. Job said, "I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." We talked a good bit about the Bible this morning when we concerned ourselves with what happened on the road to Emmaus and about knowing the Lord. But, you know, the next time you open your Bible to read, you know, you could pray like Eli told Samuel. When Samuel was lent to the Lord and had gone there to the temple with Eli, the Lord came and tried to reveal himself by the word of the Lord. Samuel didn't recognize his voice. So he ran to Eli thinking Eli was calling him. He said, "Yeah, what do you want?" He said, "I didn't call you, back to bed." That happened two or three times. And finally, when Samuel went back, Eli said, "You know what that is? That's the Lord." And the next time he calls you, say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." You take this Bible in your hand and you begin to read. Why don't you pray that? "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Because God was to reveal himself to you by the word of the Lord. That's why Job said that. Listen, remember when Brother Fuller was here, he preached on Job's Bible. He didn't have it written like you and I do. He said, "I sure wish it was," and it got. It is written now. But he said, Job said, "I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Think about that. We don't want to do without a meal, but we can easily do without Bible reading. Christians do it all the time. But no, he said, "I want to talk to you." In order for that to happen, you have to approach his face. You've got to get close enough where when he speaks, you can hear what he's saying. Now, I'll hear people preach. I heard a fellow the other day preaching, and they get up there, you know, as I was praying, and then God said to me, "Go over here and talk to this fellow. Go over there and give somebody some money," or whatever. You know, there are people I know who have testified that God speaks to them that way on a regular basis, and they go and do whatever they're told. The last time I tried to follow a voice like that, the guy was lying to me. I don't know. I don't know who it was, but it wasn't God. What am I trying to say? I was going to say, listen. Don't be looking for God to talk to you in your spirit if you're not letting him talk to you from his words. There's so much recorded in this Bible that God can say to us when he's speaking to us in these words that we don't need an audible voice of direction. It's all here. Jesus Christ, in responding to a temptation by the devil, said, "Man," he's talking about you and me, "shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Out of the mouth of God. You see, Bible reading takes on a whole different complexion when you're not just reading words on paper, but you or God are sitting down and you're seeking his face, and he can talk to you out of this book. It's very personal when that happens. Doctrinally, you can be in England, you can be here in Texas, be anywhere in the world. Doctrinally, the doctrine of the Bible doesn't change. It's doctrine. It's what the Bible says. It's set. It's all, God's got it all down. We get it messed up sometimes, get into arguments about it. But there's no argument with God. He knows exactly what the doctrine is. But that's spiritual application. Now, that's something. Everybody in this room tonight could read a particular passage of Scripture prayerfully, letting God speak to you. And then we could talk afterwards and say, "Now, what did God say to you out of that passage of Scripture?" And you'd find 100 different responses. Why? Because the spiritual application in your life at that time, in your need, is something God shows you out of something he already wrote down here when he gives it to you out of his mouth. "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." I'm reminded of a situation one time. Somebody here, a difficult time, and lots of prayer on our end, lots of prayer on their end, and reading through the Scripture. And we're both reading in Proverbs, come across a particular proverb on a particular day, and then are together later, either that day or the next. And in talking about that situation in their lives, said, "Did you read that passage in Proverbs yesterday?" "Yep." "That one right there?" "Yep." "What did the Lord say to you about that?" "This." I said, "No, no." He said the same thing to me. And it was confirmation about some direction that was taking place in a very difficult situation in a family's life. And there, didn't need the phone to ring. Didn't need something to light up. Somebody will hear. God said, "Right there, this is your answer." And boy, it was perfect direction from the Lord. God's talking to you, trying to anyway. But you seek his face. Get a hold of those eyes. Get a hold of that mouth and listen to what he says. All right, on that face there also are ears. There are ears. Seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee. Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Turn to Psalm 141. Look at verse 2. Just a couple of places. Just an example. There are lots of places like this in your Bible. But just show you a couple. Psalm 141, look at verse 2. Verse 1. And then Psalm 143, verse 1. They're right there together. Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste unto me. Watch it. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. See that? Seek ye my face. You know, he knows he's talking right into the ear of the Lord. Psalm 143, David says, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications in thy faithfulness. Answer me and in thy righteousness. You know, a lot of what we do in praying is agonizing out loud, worrying out loud, sorting things out loud. And you know something? If you're going to worry, might as well worry out loud before the Lord. If you're going to agonize over something, might as well agonize out loud before the Lord. If you're going to sort out your life and talk with the Lord about the way things are going in your life, you might as well talk out loud to the Lord. But listen, he says here, hear my prayer. And he says, give ear unto my voice. Now that is a whole different deal. Because all you and I need to know is that he heard us. That he heard us. When I was in the banking business and then I was going to leave to go into the ministry, since this is Baptist church and my family's all Catholic, I felt like I needed to go see my father. And so I drove to Victoria and I went to his office and we sat down there to talk. So he's sitting in his chair behind his desk and I'm sitting over here in one of the visitor's chairs. But you know something? During that conversation with my dad that lasted 45 minutes, there was not another thing in the universe that my father was concerned with. He didn't take a phone call. He didn't look at notes on the desk. He didn't excuse himself for a few minutes. I had his undivided attention. And I knew that he was hearing what I was saying. Now, I also realized there's something very, very difficult for my father because of the difference in religion and so forth. But here's what he said. I won't tell you everything he said, but I'll tell you one thing he said. I've never forgotten it. He said, if there's something in your heart you believe the Lord wants you to do, you better do it. Because one of these days, it'll be too late, and you'll never be able to do it. You know what that told me when he gave me that response? He heard every word I said. Every word I said. Listen, when we pray, and we talked some about that this morning, you don't need to just go up there and ramble a bunch of stuff to say you did it. You want to get his ear. You want to get his ear. And close. These things that we pray about a lot of times are things that are very serious, very dear to our heart, very agonizing. Don't you have some things that you've been praying about for a long time concerning family or concerning finances or marriage or whatever the case may be, where you and God have talked for a long season about these matters? Boy, isn't it nice to be able to get close to Him? I mean, close to Him. He said, come boldly under the throne of grace. I mean, close to Him. And be able to speak where you know that you have His undivided attention and the words you're saying are going into His ear. When they're in there, you know that peace that passeth all understanding? You don't have a thing in the world to worry about. If He heard you, He can take care of it. Anytime you see God approached about things like that from people who come in that contrition, in that way that they're speaking to the Lord, listen, God answers prayers. Seek His face. Seek His face. Speak right into His ear. Now. But just remember, His ear hears everything. He's like the spy network. You know, you're all concerned about surveillance from the NSA after Edward Snowden. And you're all worried that somebody's looking in your emails. You oughtn't to be writing anything in your emails that you'd have any reason to worry about. You oughtn't to be saying things to other people that you don't want repeated. Politicians speak to others in private, and then all of a sudden somebody has recorded the conversation, they play it back for the public, and they're like, whoa. You get the point? If you have an intimate relationship with God where you have sought His face and you're speaking in His ear, be sure when you're no longer speaking in His ear directly and you're talking to others, it's not, ha, yeah. Because He hears all that too. Just think of this. That ear hears all that I'm saying, and all that I'm saying can be repeated. Let me be careful about what I say. Be slow to speak, swift to hear when you're talking to God and talking in His ear. When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. I'll seek your eyes. I'll seek your mouth. I'll seek your ears. And there's something else on that face. It's a nose. It's a nose. You know, when I think about that, I'm reminded about the mafia. Whenever there was an undercover policeman that happened to work his way into the organization, and then the old line is, I smell a rat. You know, sometimes I believe the Lord's up there in heaven, I smell a rat. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and look at verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and look at verse 15. For we are, 2 Corinthians 2:15. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. But notice, we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. The aroma that comes from us in God's presence ought to be pleasant to the Lord. Now, we know it's not pleasant to the world. Whenever those Levites were burning sacrifices, the Lord said, that's a sweet-smelling savor. But if you've ever burnt anything on the grill, that's particularly that has hair on it, that's not what the world calls a sweet-smelling savor, but it's something that God likes. And likewise, when we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice before the Lord, there ought to be a sweet savor. We were in Psalm 141 a minute ago. Turn back there. And look at the next verse. While we were there, we could have read it, but I didn't want to jump ahead of myself. Psalm 141, and look at verse 2. You know, when we're praying, our prayer should be offered to the Lord like incense. Psalm 141, verse 2, let my prayer be set before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. That ought to be something God is really looking forward to. Oh, when that person comes to present his or her petitions before me, I love the smell. A sweet savor. You don't have to turn there, but in Revelation, when the seventh seal opens, another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it, with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne, and the smoke of the incense which came up with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Is your prayer, the time you spend with the Lord in prayer, the kind of thing that God looks forward to as a sweet savor, as that incense, as that, oh, he's come to pray again. I'm looking forward to the aroma of that sweet fellowship. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, that we are to offer spiritual sacrifices unto God. And that's thanksgiving and praise. Did you know that? Look at Hebrews chapter 13 at verse 5. You know, all of our prayer doesn't need to be, God, now do this, and God, now do that, and God, when are you going to do this, and God, I'm getting tired of waiting around for you to take care of that. Did I say 5? I meant 15. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. You know, a good portion of your time in prayer ought to just be praising God, thanking God. He loves that. That's a spiritual sacrifice. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 tells us that we offer spiritual sacrifices. There you go. There's some of it right there. And when you keep reading, verse 16 says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Why? Because it's a sweet savor to him. I think sometimes when we come before the Lord, we're like Jacob, pretending to be Esau. We're hoping to fool God and thinking that we're somebody that we're not. Isaac couldn't see all that well. He said, get over here, let me smell you. And he said, that smells like a field. That's just wearing Esau's clothes. The guy inside of the clothes was a deceiver. God loves it when we seek his face and when we present ourselves to him to thank him and to praise him for all those wonderful things that he has done. Let me show you one other verse here in Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. Because it kind of summarizes all that we can be and what oftentimes we aren't. In Isaiah chapter 1, God has called Isaiah to go back to his people, and he said, you know something, guys? I'm done. Isaiah chapter 1, look at verse 11. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths and calling of assemblies I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They're a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. When you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Now that's God's chosen people. I do not want in my life that kind of response from God when I show up. Do you? That's terrible when you read that right there. And I think one of the ways that you can do it is to do exactly what the Lord said to David. Seek ye my face. Now, that way you won't be pretending. It won't be a show. It won't be for others. Others may take notice, but that's not who you did it for. You did it for God. I look back in my life and I think to myself, if I had lived my life conscious of what you just heard every day, there are a lot of things that I had done that I wouldn't have done. But how easy it is to forget, because you can't see his face. He sees you. And he says, seek ye my face. I tell you what, tonight, as you think about what you've heard, get as close to those eyes as you can. They'll help you with the fear of the Lord. Get as close to that mouth as you can. Listen when God speaks to you out of his words. Don't miscommunicate. Pray and make your request known to his ears. Stay with it until you know he's heard you. Let me ask you a question. Was there ever a time that you prayed about something before the thing was answered, but you knew God had heard you and it was going to be answered? Yeah, like that. And then remember that as you like to present yourself smelling good before others, that you do the same with God and offer those sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving before his nose. Listen, that will draw you in close fellowship with the Lord like nothing else I know. And that's a good place to be. You know, it would cause a lot of change in our lives whenever we decide that we're trying to pull something over on somebody else. Don't do that. Seek His face. David said, "Thy face, Lord, will I seek." What do you say? David said, "Thy face, Lord, will I seek." What do you say? Let's pray. Father, we ask You please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to help us. I realize that what we've talked about tonight is very spiritual. But Father, these are folks that come. They're here Sunday morning. They're here Sunday night. They're here Wednesday. They want to be close to You. And what You've shown us in the Scripture is a good way to do that. I pray You'll help us during this invitation tonight, Father. Not to lose our balance and get spooky, but just to be sincere in our relationship with You, knowing that we should be conscious of Your face, these attributes of Your face, as we approach You. Help our lives to improve accordingly. And if there's anyone here tonight, Father, that had a different face on, a game face, and God's tired of that, You're tired of that, I pray tonight they'll take it off, take the mask off, come clean before You, Lord, and ask You to do these things in Jesus' name. Amen.